This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. You know that over time, I get to interview a lot of interesting people about interesting topics, and today, we're going to hear about a miracle, an honest-to-goodness current miracle, so amazing it's almost hard to believe. It has to do with a man who is almost dead, yet he runs 1,000 miles a year. His name is Todd Shoemaker. He's done an amazing documentary that you're going to want to see called Dead Man Running. But this isn't so much about the documentary. It's about his story. And health is one of the most important things in life. And when you don't have health, what do you do? Medical science can only go so much, but God still heals. And if you believe that, or even if you don't believe it, you want to stay tuned for the amazing story about Dead Man Running.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back and welcome to you, Todd Shoemaker. I'm just amazed at your story, Dead Man Running. I found out that there's another one called that name, so when people want to check it out, the subtitle is the Todd Shoemaker story. And one thing that I noticed that I asked one of your friends is you say Todd O.C. Shoemaker. I said, what does the O.C. stand for? And I'm sure my listeners want to know too.
The O.C. stands for Overcomer, which actually my doctors gave me that nickname years ago because I just kept overcoming, you know, obstacles and things that I wasn't medically supposed to overcome.
Well, it's amazing story that you have, and I have, you know, been covering the Christian community, the Spirit-filled community for many years. And in fact, one of the very first articles I ever put in Charisma way back in the day was with Catherine Kuhlman. Mm. And I attended one of her services, and there were actually two miracles that happened to people on the bus that I rode over with. And we, in an early issue of Charisma, we covered it. But I don't think that I have ever been aware of a miracle like yours, because you weren't sick with just one thing. You were sick with many things
right.
over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we were preparing for this, you told me that it started with crippling arthritis in 2002, but it included cancer, Parkinson's disease, a few things I can't even pronounce. And, you know, I think it's going to give the listeners a background if you explain just briefly what it was that you were coping with, because, I mean, any one of these things could have killed you.
Yes. My story really starts back in 2002 on a missions trip. God called me to fast and didn't know why, but was obedient in that because he called me to do it, even though I kind of went back and forth with him for a while. I finally said, okay, God, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna be obedient. And probably about 4 months after that trip, just wasn't feeling well after the trip. And finally my wife is like, you have to go to the doctor because this is just not you. So they originally diagnosed me with several forms of crippling arthritis and said, you know, I was in my mid-30s at that point, and they said, we've never seen a case this bad in somebody so young that's healthy otherwise. And so that started a year off of a lot of meds, a lot of experimental meds. And a year later, I was diagnosed with cancer, a rare type of cancer called thymus cancer. And the options are chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery. And I opted for the surgery because I had too many family and friends who had went through chemo and radiation. I'm like, I just don't want to do that to my body. And that's what I felt God telling me to do. So I had open heart surgery in October of 2003. And during that surgery of taking that tumor out, God gave me a vision that I needed to start running marathons and sharing the gospel.
So you weren't a runner before that?
I had run a little bit in high school, but it had been many, many years since I had put on any kind of running shoes.
And why do you think the Lord called you to run?
I think there's two reasons. One, I used to love to run when I was growing up. And I think he wanted me to be in that community of runners. Even though I wasn't fast, I think he wanted me to be in that community of runners to share the gospel, to share about overcoming what I'd overcome. And also, when I got sick later on back in 2009, my doctor shared, had I not been in such great shape from running, I would have never been able to survive that initial onslaught.
Why do you think, or maybe the doctors have explained, that one person could get so many diseases? I mean, a lot of people will live life without any of these debilitating diseases, and or they'll get one and that might do them in. But I mean, it's just one right after the other.
Yeah, well, and I've asked that question and there's really no answer for that because I have an older brother, 2 years older than me, never had a major illness in his life. And we grew up in the same place, lived in the same place, were surrounded by the same environmental things. But, the doctors do believe a lot of it was due to something in the environment. Just whether it was in the schools or things like that. But they said, basically, we'll just really never know why your body went through, the list of, arthritis, cancer, Parkinson's, myasthenia gravis, gastroparesis, and finally, the last few months was wasting syndrome, which when you get classified with wasting syndrome, that means you have weeks or days to live.
To live. Now, I haven't been around a lot of these diseases. I do remember that my grandmother had Parkinson's disease, but she was pretty old. But it was also totally debilitating, as I recall.
Yes.
I wasn't around her a lot, but I did see with my own eyes that it's a terrible, terrible disease. And so medical science helped you. Your own stamina with running and being fit helped.
Right.
But you actually came down to where it was a miracle.
Yes.
A healing miracle. You've told me that some of your friends who are uncomfortable with that term say, be careful, but I mean, it was a miracle. Explain the miracle part of it and how it's been documented.
Okay. So in 2019, the doctors in February of that year had basically told my wife and I, this will be the last year. Like he's beat the odds for so many years, but his numbers look terrible. At that point, Steve, I weighed 112 pounds. I was on a feeding tube, had not eaten solid foods in 3.5 years. I had to use a special machine to help me speak. And my body was just beat up. And so...
So which disease was it that made you in that condition?
The combination of the Parkinson's and the myasthenia gravis, which caused the gastroparesis where I couldn't eat and had to be on the feeding tube. So it was a kind of a combination of both those diseases that really just knocked me for a loop. But at that point, I was down to 112 pounds. And so I want to just go back real quick because I think it's really important in the story. A week before Chauncey Crandall's tent event, God had woken me up at 1 o'clock in the morning like he's been doing for the last 18 years now. And he said, Todd, we're going into a season of miracles, healing, and revival. And I thought, okay, well, I know a lot of people that need a miracle. I know a lot of people that need healing. I know this country and this world needs revival. And it's funny because I still get those three same words every day for the last 2 years now. So later that day, I get a phone call and that I'm invited, hey, Todd, you got to come to this. Dr. Crandall's doing this event. You got to come. Well, part of me was like, I've been prayed over so many times. I'm so tired. And at that point, even though I didn't want to leave my wife, we were both at the point where we were just like, if you want to go home to Jesus, it's okay. You can go. So we said, we're going to go because we've got friends. We invited 50 friends to that event, and all of them have some kind of health issue or had a family member that had some kind of health issue. And I'm like, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for my friend, Laura, who was dealing with cancer at that point. So I showed up. Dr. Crandall shared his testimony, shared a few other things, and then he asked the audience if they wanted prayer to come forward. So I just stood up, didn't move forward, and Steve, it was almost like God put a spotlight on me and said, hey, what are you doing? And I said, no, I'm praying for my friend. There's my friend there and there. And he goes, no, no, you don't understand. I created this night just for you. You need to go forward. So as I'm going forward, I feel myself lifted up. And I thought, okay, some friends are helping me because they know how weak I am. Because at some point I was in a wheelchair because I just didn't have the strength to walk. And so when I turned, there were these two women that were 8 feet tall. And with Parkinson's—
Those are big women.
Well, with Parkinson's, you have hallucinations. So I'm thinking to myself, am I having a hallucination or am I really seeing these two women? But I felt very much at peace. So I was like, well, whether it's a hallucination or not, I feel really peaceful with them guiding me. So they took me all the way down to the front, and everybody that would come by to pray for me, they'd say, he's dying. He's only got days to live, weeks to live. He's dying. And I'm thinking, how do these women even know who I am? And so Dr. Crandall came by and he anointed me with oil. And he's prayed over me for many times because he's been my doctor since 2014. But that night, my body just, I literally thought somebody had set me on fire. And I thought, I'm either dying or I'm being healed. And I'm good with either one. So he passes by. And then there's a gentleman called Stanley Love. And I thought, how amazing that God uses somebody with the last name Love to be part of the to be part of this night. And I had never met Stanley before. And so he's praying for me and he's about to move on. And these ladies go, no, no, no. You have to pray over his stomach. You don't understand. He can't eat. He's dying. And I'm thinking, how do these women know me? I've never seen these women in my life. And so he prayed over me. And when he lifted his hand off my stomach, my wife was probably maybe 10 feet away because she couldn't get down to the front. And I looked over at her and I said, Laura, I said, I think I'm hungry. But I didn't know what that meant.
Instantly you said that.
Yeah, because I hadn't had a hunger pain in 5 years. And like food didn't do anything for me. Like I could, you could put the greatest meal in the world and I'd be like, eh, not, doesn't do anything for me. And she goes, what? And I said, yeah, I think I'm hungry. And she said, hey, turn your voice down because this voice machine, which is like an amplifier, it will crackle in crowds. So she's like, they're still praying. So turn it off. So when I went to turn it off, it was already off. It hadn't been on all night. So my voice was very very hoarse at that point, but she could hear me from 10 feet away. And usually you had to be, to hear me without that machine, you had to be right in my face. So that night, I mean, literally my appetite came back. My voice came back. I went and had 2 bites of chicken salad because that was the last thing that I had eaten before I couldn't eat anymore was chicken salad. So I figured, hey, let's just go with chicken salad. So I had 2 bites of chicken salad, 2 French fries, and called it a night. But, you know, the next morning I'm waking up thinking, okay, well, this is real. Like it wasn't a dream. It wasn't, you know, and the two women that were behind me, 4 other people saw them that night. And they're like, yeah, those were angels, Todd. Those weren't 8 feet tall women that, you know, regular women that were carrying you down there. They were literally angels that carried you to that stage. And so, yeah, a month later, I'm sitting watching college football and God said, hey, I thought you wanted to go running. I'm like, it's only been a month. God's like, you're the one that said you wanted to go running. And so I went and bought it, even though I had a whole bunch of new running shoes in my closet. God said, no, go buy a new pair of running shoes. So bought a new pair of running shoes, ran a mile that night, ran a mile and a half the next night. And then last year, 2020, I ran over 1,000 miles and that's the first time I had run in 10 and a half years.
That's incredible. There aren't very many Americans who run 1,000 miles a year. That's 3 miles a day, every single day, no exceptions.
No breaks.
And it's an amazing story. I want to talk a little bit about Dr. Chauncey Crandall.
Yes.
Who I have known for years. I actually went to one of his meetings, but I'm guessing it was a year or so after the one you're talking about.
I think you came in January of 2020, so right. Mine happened in November of 2019.
Oh, just a few months before.
So yeah, you were you probably saw me. If you may not remember me, but I was just didn't have this much weight on.
Well, I have so much respect for him, and people, you know, he's a very successful cardiologist,
yes,
in West Palm Beach area. He has a newsletter. I hope I'm saying this right, but it's somehow with Newsmax.
Yes.
So he's widely respected.
Yes.
I first heard about him when he prayed for a man, and the man came back from dead.
And I've met that man, yeah.
Have you really?
We used to go to the same church.
Well, it's an amazing story, you know, basically, and I'm hoping I'm remembering this right, but he was in the emergency room. They kind of gave him up for dead.
He had a massive heart attack, yeah.
Massive heart attack, and Dr. Crandall felt very specifically that the Lord told him to go back and try again.
Yes.
And to somehow rebuke the spirit of death. And, you know, you don't hear about this very often in the United States. And when you do, it seems like somebody comes up with some theory that kind of poo-poo the whole thing.
Right.
So that even those who believe after a while start doubting, like, is this really true or not? But secular news media have looked into this.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen a couple of them, and they treated it fairly even-handedly. It was like, mm-hmm, we don't understand this, but it's an interesting story.
Right.
And Dr. Crandall is a very self-confident professional, of course, but he's also very humble.
Yes.
He doesn't go around trying to draw attention to himself. Yet, being a medical doctor, he prays for the sick.
Yes.
Which is a story in and of itself. In fact, I need to invite him on my podcast,
yeah,
sometime, because such amazing stories, including praying outside of hospitals, holding up signs so people,
right,
could see it,
right,
especially during COVID, where nobody could,
yes,
even,
yeah,
you know, a visitor couldn't even go into the hospital.
Right.
And seeing many miracles, not just yours, but,
yeah,
yours is one of the most amazing. And, you know, I hope that people will see the documentary. It is actually free on YouTube. We are soon going to have it on our platform called Charisma Plus, but we'll have to explain that later. And it's called Dead Man Running, The Todd Shoemaker Story.
Yeah, it'll come out, it'll be released November 17th.
Which is only a few days after we're recording this. Of course,
right,
people will be listening to this podcast probably months and years from now, but we're recording it in 2021. In November, and you know, I encourage people to see it. I've seen it. I've shown it to a bunch of people on my staff. Everyone's just blown away. And you know, it's not about you or Dr. Crandall. It's about this miracle. I think what amazed me more than anything was, you know, even going back to what you said just a minute ago about how God wakes you up at 1 a.m.
yeah,
and God speaks to you when you're running. God gave you the name Dead Man Running.
Right.
You know, I believe that God speaks to me, but it's not that clear. I'll tell you that. And you're inspiring my faith to, you know, I think that probably most of us are, I'll just speak for myself, God probably speaks, but we probably don't really listen.
No. And because everybody's in such a hurry. I mean, we live in a society that you got to get from one meeting to the next meeting, got to get stuff done. Well, when you're sitting in ICU, you know, when you're at home and you can't move around and do much, you have, you know, God's got all your attention at that point. You know, I mean, over 10 years, I averaged, you know, 150 to 200 days a year in the hospital. So that became my mission field. That became, you know, and it's an interesting story about that, Steve, is in 2009 when I got sick again, because with the Parkinson's, I was doing well. I was running and you know, I was slower in my runs, but I was still getting around, still working. And 2009, thought I had a cold and ended up being rushed to the ER. And my wife was told that I had less than 24 hours to live. But during that time, people always say, oh, can you write that prayer down that you and your wife prayed because you're still here? And I'm like, I didn't pray. I said, all God told me to do is not look sick or act sick. And he would walk me through this journey. And I thought, and I told my wife, and she said, my sister was with her. And she said, not my real sister, but I call her my sister. She said, oh, he's on morphine. So, you know, we won't pay too much attention to what he's saying right now. But I said, no, that's what God's telling me. But from that, for the next 10 years, from 2009 to 2019, with all the hospital stays, all the doctor's visits, I mean, I literally had a doctor's appointment every day, pretty much for 10 years. Treatments for all the different diseases. I would walk in and they would say, can we help you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm Todd Shoemaker. I'm the patient. And they're like, you don't look sick. Are you sure you're the patient? And I'm like, yes. And I would, but through that, I would be able to share, well, let me tell you why I don't look sick and I don't act sick. Because my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, told me that I wouldn't look sick and act sick. So I was able to share the gospel in those 10 years with over 1,000 people. And I never had to say, can I share the gospel with you? You know, and it's the power of the testimony. And I know that's a whole different podcast, but the power of the testimony, you know, and that's the reason we wanted to share this story, is to encourage people, whether they know Jesus or whether they don't know Jesus, to encourage them as they're walking through their storm, but also to encourage believers to not get so caught up in being in a box with their Christianity and saying, guess what? God can still do miracles. You know, today, it's not something that stopped happening years and years ago, that he can still do them today. And hopefully it will encourage their faith to maybe kind of look outside that box and see what God's got for them.
Well, that's a good segue, because I was just going to ask you, you know, we could probably talk for a long time. Really, people need to watch the documentary and really see how absolutely amazing it is. But I want you to encourage listeners, because I'm guessing that people are going to send this to people that they know are sick, people that need hope. And you were so sick for so long, one thing after the other. I mean, just the fact that you kept your faith up, and then you got a miracle when you weren't even really seeking it.
Right.
You were standing for your friend Laura.
Right.
And I mean, an angel visitation is a pretty amazing thing. Very, very few people would have ever experienced something like that. So what can you say to people who are listening to encourage them? And then I have some other questions, which include how can people get hold of you?
Okay.
But I want to close the podcast today with you praying for my listeners. So continue what you were saying about encouraging people to believe for their own miracle.
Well, when I always encourage people as they're praying, because we're good at praying for other people, but we're not always great at praying for ourselves, because we think, well, God wouldn't want me praying for myself. And God's going, what are you talking about? Like, I want you praying, you know, for others, but I also want to make sure you're praying for yourself. But what I always encourage people when I'm praying for, especially when I'm praying for their healing, is for them to start living out their miracle before it manifests itself. Because for 17 and a half years, every morning I woke up going, okay, today's the day God's going to heal me. Today is the day. The day would end, the year would end, you know, decade ended. But I just always lived out like, no, I'm healed. Like I am, you know, and God could have taken me home during that time. But to live out your miracle even before you see it happen, to live life and find purpose. I always encourage everyone that I pray for, whether they're a Christian or not, or whether it's a health issue or not, but especially for believers, that if you can find your purpose during the storm, then you find your peace. And for me, I found purpose by ministering in the hospitals, doctor's appointments, outside of hospitals. And that became my purpose. So when I woke up in the morning, it wasn't like, oh, wow, yeah, I have several life-threatening health issues. I could die today. It was like, who do I get to pray for today? Who needs me to pray for them today? And even when I would be taken to the emergency room, or the doctors would say, hey, we're going to send you upstairs to be admitted, I would always go in prayer. And my wife finally kind of realized, like, hey, so how many people did he give you? I would pray, God, how many people, if I've got to be in the hospital, how many people do you want me to share the gospel with on this trip? And sometimes he'd say five. he'd bring five people, new people that I hadn't shared the gospel with before, whatever the number was. And it just always worked that way. And it was just always, okay, being obedient, you know, and that's a bit, you know, we talked about that earlier, you know, with being obedient to what God is asking you to do, because it would have been very easy for me to say, hey, God, guess what? I'm sick. I'm dying. I don't have time to pray for somebody else. I don't have time to go out and do these different things. But God's like, that's your purpose. And through that purpose, I found my peace. So for me, it was never, I never looked at myself as a sick guy. You know, I never looked at myself and said, oh yeah, I'm dying. It was always like, it's just another bump in the road and God's going to bring me through it.
That's profound. How can people follow up if they want to find out more about you? Is there a website?
Yeah, they can go to deadmanrunningmovie.com and they can see the trailer there. There's some different information about my wife and I, and my phone number's there. I encourage people to call me. People always say, Todd, you're crazy for giving out your phone number and your email address to people. And I'm like, they're always like, crazy people are going to call you. And I said, yes, those are the folks that I want calling me. I want the crazy
That's
folks.
Beautiful.
I want the people who say, I have no hope. And maybe this guy can help me. And it's not me doing anything, Steve. We all know, it all comes from Christ. He's just using me as a vessel. And it's interesting, if you don't mind, one interesting story is about a week and a half after my healing, 1 o'clock in the morning, I said, God, you don't have to answer this question, but I said, I sure would love the answer. Why did it take so long for my healing to happen? You could have done it the first year, the fifth year, the 10th year. And he spoke to my spirit and he said, Todd, if I would have healed you that first year, that fifth year, even that 10th year, all your doctors would have taken credit for it. Now I am the only one that can take credit for your healing.
You know, I want to encourage my listeners to share this on social media, email it to people you know would be blessed. You know, to me, health is so important, mm-hmm. and medical science does what they can, but, you know, they don't have all the answers,
right.
obviously.
Right.
But God still heals, whether or not
yes.
people in the secular culture believe it, whether
right.
or not people in the church believe it, God is still God. And I want you to close the podcast today with a prayer.
Okay. Dear Jesus, we just come to you in prayer now. We thank you for this beautiful day you blessed us with. We thank you for the breath that you gave us as we woke up this morning. We thank you that you allowed our heartbeat to continue today, because that's a gift and that's a miracle within itself, and not everybody got that miracle today. So we're just coming to you in prayer. We're thanking you for this time that we've had together, and I'm praying for those right now, dear Lord, that are hurting, whether it's a health issue, a relational issue, whatever the issue may be, we're praying healing in those situations. And we're praying right now, dear Lord, for those who have lost hope, who have put all their hope in the next test. If what's the next test going to say? I pray right now that they would hear your voice as you speak to them and as you begin to heal them of whatever is going on in their bodies and in their life right now, dear Lord. We're praying for a beautiful, creative, healing miracle. We know that you can do it. We've seen you do it. I can testify that you've done it in my life. So we're praying right now, complete healing, all disease, we bind it, whether it's cancer, whether it's Parkinson's, whether it's heart issues, whatever it may be, we're binding that up right now in Jesus' name. We're casting it out, and we're just praying that you would bless each person that's listening to this now, may listen to it in the future. And I pray and I encourage those that are walking through a storm to begin right now to walk in your miracle. This very moment, begin to walk in your miracle. Begin to believe that you've been healed. Believe that God has done a miracle working thing in your life. We thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to share your word, to be able to be your ambassador. And it's in the precious, amazing name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.